With more than 99% of the votes counted in the first round of Romania's presidential election, a far-right pro-Russia candidate has taken the lead. Călin Georgescu has an unassailable lead of more than 300,000 votes. He has no political party and is known as the TikTok candidate after he used the social media platform to galvanize his support by calling for an end to aid for Ukraine. He's also sounded a skeptical note on Romania's NATO membership. Well, with only a few dozen votes separating the next two candidates, the Prime Minister Marcel Ciolacu and the centre-right liberal Elena Lasconi. According to the latest count, it's Ms. Lasconi who is just 44 votes ahead of Mr. Ciolacu, and they're competing for a place in the runoff to challenge Mr. Georgescu in the second round of voting in 2 weeks' time.
Well, that report actually came from November of 2024. That's when the election happened in Romania, and that's when Călin Georgescu won that first round by a landslide. But then he was removed, and that's what we're going to be talking about today, and that's what J.D. Vance was referring to in his address to the Munich conference, the Munich Security Conference that we discussed probably a couple of weeks ago. So what's happening in Ukraine, Romania today? I'm telling you, they feel like they are losing their freedoms because of all the things we're going to be talking about today. And this is what it sounds like right now in Romania, clip six. That's in a report from the Associated Press, and they're very upset. They're in the streets because Călin has been removed in a lot of different ways, which we will cover today. So, but first, as long as the abortion pill is legally mailed and taken in all 50 states, no state can be abortion-free. Abortion pills carry distinct risks to mothers and death to babies, and now accounts for over 60% of all abortions. Preborn's network of clinics shine a light into this darkness by offering free services to women considering the future of their baby, including the abortion reversal pill. This powerful remedy can help reverse the curse of this toxic medication. Preborn reaches into the heart of babies and mothers and with God's love and compassion, and to date they have rescued over 300,000 babies. Your tax-deductible monthly support of any amount is crucial in the fight for life. All proceeds go toward life, and together we can reverse this horrible curse. Saving babies isn't just about one life. It's about saving the heartbeat of the entire nation. To donate, please go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy. Well, this is Sandy Rios 24/7. You can listen to us on any podcast platform. You can email us. And by the way, we're going to be doing an email show pretty soon here at sandy@afr.net. Love hearing what you have to say, and share as many of your email as I can on the air. You can also call us at 662-821-2040. That's 662-821-2040. You can find us on social media platforms, and you can also go to sandyrios.com, listen to the show, and find out more about what we're doing. All right, well, today you're in for, this is really interesting. If you have interest in international affairs like I do, and the globe is pretty small these days, you will really enjoy our conversation with H.D. Hartman. H.D. is a Romanian, he's a nationally known conservative pundit in Romania, and actually worldwide. I don't know if you have heard of Mario Knoffel. He is the number one show on X. Millions of people listen to him, and H.D. is often a guest of his. So this is a whole universe that's different to me. But H.D. Hartman is that political pundit from Romania who speaks great English, and he's going to describe to us what's actually going on there. I actually think you'll find it fascinating on today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness. that we actually believe what we say we believe.
A longtime Fox News contributor, Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice, not social justice, but God's justice, what's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association,
a pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
All right, Sandy Rios with you. I wanted to replay that clip because that's what it sounds like in Romania right now. They are something like 6 hours ahead of us, and all hell is breaking loose there because the people feel that their country is being stolen away from them. We can relate to that, can't we? And so I've asked a Romanian, nationally known conservative journalist to join us this morning for us, afternoon for him. He's a Romanian cultural and political pundit also. He's Jewish, which is interesting. I'm going to ask him about that. His name is H.D. Hartman. H.D., thank you for joining us. We appreciate it so much.
Thank you very much for inviting me, Sandy. Really appreciate your invitation.
Before we get into the nuts and bolts of what's happening in Romania, and I have already touched on it earlier in the show so people will have some knowledge, plus I discussed it last week after J.D. Vance made his speech in Munich, so people are not totally unfamiliar. But I want to go back because you are Jewish, which made me, of course, think about the Soviet Union when Romania was locked under terrible oppression, probably the most oppressed bloc, Soviet country of that bloc under Ceausescu. So I want to know how your family survived that, H.D. How did your family survive that?
Well, we survived the fascism. Because Romania was a pro-fascist country during the Second World War, if we remember correctly. And some members of my family went to Auschwitz and Birkenau and in Transnistria. So we survived that. Some of the members of my family never did it, never made it. But during communism, you had to survive because it was a 50-year-old incredible dictatorship. Romania had one of the worst dictatorship inside the Soviet system. We are not part of the Soviet Union, but we are part of the communist system in Eastern Europe. And we had to survive. I can tell you something. We tried our best. We all had our dreams. We continued to believe in God. We continued to believe in family. We were very, very close units, as we said. And we trusted only us. And yes, surely we had very good friends, Romanians, Christians, etc., that were on the same line with us and believed in the same values as we did. So we had a chance during those 50 years. And after that, democracy came, which changed the whole game.
Yes, and I want to pick up with that. I want to interject something. My listeners heard me tell this, but in case they didn't hear the story, this is what makes it personal for me. I think it was 1989 when Joseph and Elizabeth Son came to the United States, fled to Wheaton, which is where I was living in Wheaton, and I was invited to a private meeting with them, and they poured their hearts out, and that's the first I had heard of the story. He was a Christian pastor, and I remember Elizabeth sitting next to me, describing what it was like to live there, the persecution under Ceausescu, and how she had had to decide who to give her children to because she and Joseph were going to be killed. She was literally picking out people to take her baby, her children. And that's how personal. I want to make it personal so people will understand what you guys have been through.
Yes.
And so...
I can tell you something, just 1 second, if I may interject.
Sure.
One of my close relatives, in fact, one of my preferred uncles, His wife was arrested in 1952 under the most Stalinist occupation of Romania. So he was left home with two small children, one 2 years old and something like 7 months old. The boy was two and the girl was 7 months old. And he was announced, because that was also the absolute lack of morality and the godless system, he was announced 2 days before that he will be arrested. So imagine the man, the father alone, with two small children, trying to understand where to leave his children. So he put them in a basket and sent it to a cousin. And he did not see them for the next 7 years. The mother was released. The wife was released 3 years after. And she tried for weeks to recover her children. So this kind of situations, I can tell you, happened to all of them. It is incredible what happened. Yeah. It was a continuation, and for the Jews in Romania, it was a continuation of the cruelty of and the criminality of the fascism regime. Mm-hmm. So it was not respite, you know. It was not a time
a break.
Of peace.
Yeah.
And yes.
So well,
it's absolutely incredible.
Yeah. So this is the.
And those people, listen. What's happening? It's. I always give my children this answer. I have grown children. I always give these examples to my children because they said, if they survived that, then we can survive everything and anything bad is coming in front of us. Because if they survived that savagery, that primitivism, then we can survive.
Yes.
And that's important.
Yes, it is. Absolutely. And that, you know, I'm taking a while to get into the story, but I think it's really important that people understand the Romanian people as best we can in a few minutes. But that is in your lifeblood. But you know what happens in a lot of these countries, HD? I'm thinking of South Korea, where the young people have no idea about their roots, about America's attempt to save Korea. They know nothing about that. They're sort of more sympathetic with the communist North now because of education. And that's happened in our country and America also. So tell me about Romania. Are your kids, do they remember what it was? Have their parents been faithful to tell them what life was like? Or have they been propagandized in their schools also?
Well, what's happening is that Romania, my kids are born after the communist collapse, so they know about communism, they know about fascism, surely, only from the tales and from the stories they received. What it is important to understand is that Romania, it was until now, until this year, somehow shielded by a very traditional way of life. We're not a very big country. We are not a very rich country. We are not a powerful military, powerful house. But we have a very long history. And we have our traumas, we have our historical dramas, we had good and bad, as any nation on this planet. Romanians did not start literally to understand the fractures happening in the world, but a couple of years ago, we entered in the contact with I will give you an example, the woke and cancel culture, when we started to see disappearing the national figures from the history books. We started to see disappearing statues. You couldn't find the books republished from the old literature. It was too macho, it was too masculine, it was too against women, it was not about LGBTQ, it was not about I don't know what. So Romania started to enter in contact with this new fracture, with this new so-called Marxist revolution, because it is in fact a neo-Marxist revolution, a neo-criminal. I call it a neo-criminal revolution. And until 5-6 years ago, And we started to see loans coming from Brussels, from the European Union. We are part, Romania is part, is a member of the European Union. Loans that are forbidding us now to criticize abortion, by example, to criticize different aspects of alternative sexuality, etc. So we did not, we were shielded until, let's say, 5-6 years ago. So my children, let's say, in a stroke of luck, they lived a kind of normal childhood, teenage, youth period of time. But now what they're, the very young generation, they're seeing in Romania is the same as they're seeing in Paris, in Berlin, in London. The craziness that, that literally took over the European continent. Because I can tell you, if you were on the brink of destruction, because the United States was on the brink of destruction, I can tell you, we are already done. Your European Union will need probably 50 years from now on, the continent, the nations on this continent, to take it over, to rebuild the civilization, and to remaster their destiny. We are done. Europe is absolutely done.
I'm not going to argue with you because I think you're right, unless God intervenes. And we are experiencing, of course, a lot of miracles over here. We really are. And I attribute that to God because I can't think of any other reason, because I felt we were on a we were completely on a course of self-destruction. So you can't, you know, we can't limit the power of God. But I want to, allow me just another little rabbit trail here. Just to tell people, Romania is in Southeastern Europe. You will recognize the name Transylvania. Yeah. That's their forest, and it's out of that that the whole story of Dracula came out of that, you know, that forest. But there is no really Dracula in Romania. But
Dracula's a legend. It is a legend.
Yes. Anyway, it's ringed by the beautiful Carpathian Mountains. It's been in existence for years after year after year after year, for generations, for centuries. It's an old country. And it still has maintained its culture. I see that in the photos that I'm looking at, you know, still the native dress, a lot of it. And so I think that's amazing. Yeah. After all you have been through, that the culture has kept, at least it looks to me from a long way, sort of its essence, that Romanian culture has not been lost in all of this. But you touched on this.
I think, if I may, one second, I think God, family, and traditions kept Romanian spirit alive. Romanians are very, they're believers in God, and it is one of the most important elements. In fact, is the most important element that every dictatorship on this territory wanted to destroy. We have also the family. The family, it's a very strong unit as a social organization. And surely we have the traditions, the dressing, you saw there, the dresses, etc.
Yes.
And the photos you're talking about are representing hundreds and hundreds of history of communion with nature, with spiritual elements, etc. But they were also used as a protest against the different kind of dictatorships we had on the territory, because we had, don't forget, we had, starting with the barbarians, we had the Turkish, the Islamic dictatorship, we had the fascism, we had communism, we had a lot of things. So that, in that way, Romanians kept their liaison, their relation with their history and their soul. And they're strong as... we are strong. Romanians are very strong, and we are not very afraid to face the challenges coming upon us, and that's very, very important for us.
Yes, absolutely. I think, you know, you can win a lot of battles if your mind is set on winning, and if you're just determined, that's for sure. So, all right. The Soviet Union breaks up, and Ceausescu, you know, disappears. Like, overnight, the whole thing is over, this nightmare. And then Romania becomes a democracy of some sort. I don't know if it's what format you use, but how has Romania fared? Have you prospered? Have you been a free people? How did that adjustment go up until the period what we're going to be talking about today?
What's happening is that Romania had ups and downs, as any country from Eastern Europe transitioning from Soviet-style economy, Soviet-style dictatorship, Soviet-style political system, to a liberal democratic system. We had ups and downs. I think the Romanians had more downs than ups. I think Romanians had their mistakes. They being a very traditional in thinking, they never trusted too much the Western capitalism. And it is a very simple reason. It's not because of them. It's never the fault of the people. It's because they've been betrayed. After the Second World War, they've been literally given to the Soviet Union. They didn't want to go to the Soviet Union. They didn't want to have a Soviet army on their territory. They didn't want communism. So they did not trust in the truthfulness of the Western friends were coming, or in the truthfulness of the Western ideas. Also, don't forget that in 1945, there was a Western. In 1991, there was another Western culture. There were two different Western cultures coming. We were used with something in 1945. The doors closed. We lived in that chimera, in that idea of what was in 1945. And in 1991, when we opened the doors, there was a new Western civilization, a new, more developed, differently than it was what we knew. Yeah. So it was a shock. It took us a decade to understand that shock. After that came European Union, which we never understood, and I'm still not understanding. We escaped the Soviet empire of Russian language, and we are building in Europe, with a capital in Brussels, a Soviet-style empire with the language of Brussels. We don't understand that. We escaped from a Soviet system to go into another Soviet system.
Yeah, so
that's incredible, and that's a shock for Romanians, and not only for Romanians, for Hungarians, for Bulgarians, yes. For a lot of Eastern European nations. They don't understand that.
Yeah, well, we always said, you know, we called you the New Europe. The New Europe, and the New Europe always had, you know, saw things more clearly sometimes than the traditional Western culture, because you've been through so much. And it is amazing that you guys got swallowed up by the European Union. So was that voted on by did the people vote on that, joining the EU?
Joining the EU was a tricky political affairs. Some countries did not vote, but anyway, entered. In Romania, we entered first, and after that we voted, if you can imagine that. It was a referendum, which nobody exactly knew what was voting for. But the Prime Minister at that time, Adrian Năstase, said, we will enter EU 2004, that was the year, and we'll have in 2005 a referendum to accept the entrance, which logically, in fact, was supposed to be exactly the other side. We start with a referendum. Do you Romanians want to enter in EU? And after that, we enter EU. That was the logic and historical way to do it. But no, we did it in a tricky way. The political class did it in a tricky way. I can tell you, Romanians are not against European Union. They were never against European Union. Because of the communism, we consider ourselves all the time Europeans and Western Europeans, although we are in the southeast of Europe, and we all the time consider ourselves part of the cultural heritage of Europe, which is the true history. So that did not pose a problem, or nobody questioned that tricky arrangement, until we started to see loans coming from European Union that were contradicting our laws, our constitution, our traditions, our values, more and more and more and more, until a couple of 4 or 5 years ago, as I said before, when we were inundated by this new laws that are literally rechanging the Romania as we know it. Are literally rewriting the Romania as we know it.
Well, this is what, of course, and we should just, I just pause to say, the European Union was sold as I understand it, I remember this, as this way to compete with America, because it would be like the states, a unification of the European countries would be equivalent to 50 American states, and it would give you more economic power, and you'd be part of this. You'd have the same currency, but you never saw. I mean, they never told you that they were going to force you to take. You would not have borders, and that would mean that you'd be forced to take illegal immigrants. That you'd be forced then to bow the knee to them. It would supersede your constitution. That's what they have done in every country that's joined, and that's why England withdrew.
I will tell you. I will give you an example, if I may. I will give you an example. The most recent, the European Union now wants to rearm Europe. In the wake of the situation of with the war between Russia and Ukraine, and in the realizing that the United States is not going to finance this madness anymore, Europeans now want to oblige each nation to pay from their own budget, from their own pocket, almost 800 billion euros. Just to give to the American audience the magnitude of this figure, would be like a billion dollars, U.S. dollars.
Wow.
It's huge.
Wow.
It's huge amount. And they want us to pay for continuation of the war in Ukraine. And we don't have it. Europe does not have it. Europe is not built as a tool against, as they called it all the time, the hegemonic American economy in the world. Europe lost its way. We don't have those financial resources. Second, we don't have the natural resources to build physically the arms. Okay, at this amount, you need resources, natural. You need rare land. You need rare elements. You do not have physically. You need oil. You need gas. You do not have in Europe physically those resources. So what's happening is that we are entering in a conflictual situation that the ideology is imposing an economy that or economical projects that are not viable. Who did that? Hitler did that. Stalin did that. Communism did that. Fascism and communism did that. Entered in the field of the natural economic laws, and with the ideology tried to change them, which we know the result. It was a catastrophic result. So we are seeing now European Union trying, in the name of ideology, to create an economy that is not going to work because there are no financial, technological, economical, whatever resources you want to name. And European Union is, from this point of view, on a losing side. And we in Romania, we're looking and we're saying that's crazy. It's crazy because we are in an agricultural country. We do have a good industrial part of our economy, but it's only a part. We never want it to be because we didn't have the resources to be a superpower like the United States, okay, or like UK, or like France, or like Berlin. But with what we had industrially, it accomplished our historical objectives. Now they're pushing us to do more with nothing. It will destroy whatever we have already. This ideology, entering economic growth, is destructive.
Well, there's so many things in my head to ask you. I was just thinking, so when J.D. Vance spoke before the Munich Security Conference,
yes,
he called out the EU, and they hate him for that. And he brings out, the whole problem in Romania. He exposes it to the world. That's the first time I'd ever heard of it, HD. And so, and he says, he points out to them a point you made just a few minutes ago. Who were the oppressors? Who were the people that the police arrested who shut down elections and oppressed the people? It wasn't, it was the Nazis. It was the Russians. And now this is what you're doing. He didn't say all of that, but that's what he inferred pretty clearly. So
and
all of that is because of this election that just happened in your country. The arrest of I'm going to ask you to describe him in just a second. The arrest of the favored candidate by people like you. And it's just in case now, and they arrested him, and then now they're preventing him from running. And that's why people are rioting in the streets. Well, that was our first conversation, at least the first part of our conversation with H.D. Hartman. And I wanted to get into the background of Romania because I just think it's important for understanding the world. I hope that you don't shrink from it. I know they're not teaching geography or really world history. They're not certainly not teaching American history. But there is so much to know about the world, and when you start to learn about it, it helps you to understand. And I think once we get into the election problems in Romania, you'll have even a better understanding of what just happened to us here in the United States. So don't go away, because I have a few more points I want to make on the other side of this break. We'll be right back. Hi, this is Sandy Rios. A lot of Christians would be shocked to learn they are personally profiting from abortion and pornography. It's unnerving to realize just how many companies and corporations are actively involved in unbiblical practices. To help cut through the red tape, there is a great option known as Timothy Plan. Timothy Plan is the pioneer in biblically responsible investing. Timothy Plan carefully filters out companies involved in practices Scripture tells us to avoid. We are in an all-out culture war. One powerful way to make a difference is to put our money where our values are. Please go to timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-846-7526. Discover how to be a biblically responsible investor.
Before investing, carefully consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company. This and other important information can be found in the fund's prospectus. To obtain a copy, visit timothyplan.com or call 800-846-7526. Read each prospectus carefully before investing.
This is Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
As abortion continues to rise, Preborn is expanding their life-affirming care in the darkest corners of our nation to help more hurting women and save more babies. If you have the means, would you consider a leadership gift to save babies in a big way? Your tax-deductible donation of $15,000 will place a machine in a needy women's center, saving countless lives for years to come. To donate, go to preborn.com/Sandy, that's preborn.com/Sandy.
The Sandy Rios 24/7 podcast are available at AFR.net. Back to Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
For years, we've been told that everything we fund and support is in the name of our shared democratic values. Everything from our Ukraine policy to digital censorship is billed as a defense of democracy. But when we see European courts canceling elections and senior officials threatening to cancel others, we ought to ask whether we're holding ourselves to an appropriately high standard. And I say ourselves because I fundamentally believe that we are on the same team. We must do more than talk about democratic values. We must live them.
Well, that was Vice President J.D. Vance speaking at the Munich conference a couple of weeks ago. And we did discuss it, but it bears repeating. That was an incredible moment when Vice President Vance confronted the European leaders for what they are doing to Romania. Can you imagine how outraged they were? And they still are. They're on a rampage. Some of them have said that America is now their enemy. That's really what they're saying. And we talked, as we discussed this a couple of weeks ago, we talked about how we hardly recognize each other anymore. Most of us in America are European in descent. We come from those countries, and yet we hardly recognize them. We think differently. They don't, most, and I'm making broad sweeps, but by and large, they don't care about God anymore. They don't care about morality. They're really in a new dark ages, I would say. So, Romania, the election, we still have not discussed thoroughly. It's quite a story. And we're going to talk about that in our second discussion with H.D. Hartman. But for today, we're going to say goodbye. And I want to thank Timothy Plan, because you can put your money where your values are and discover how to be a biblically responsible investor. Visit timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Well, thank you for listening to today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.